B'dvachai, I hope you had a most enjoyable Shabbos. We continue with our study of Nachyomi, a deeper look as we do every single day. Li'iloi Nishmas, Avi Mori, Rav Hillel ben Meir, Yechiel Mechel, Zichrono Lebracha, and the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker, Zichrono Lebracha. And today I'd like to take a look at Shmuel Bet, Perek Yudchet, and really in particular the area around Pasuk Yudchet, when we start talking about the fact that Avshalom in his lifetime had set up a Matzeva for himself, which is called Yad Avshalom, which is to be found in Emek HaMelech, because he didn't have any children. That said, we had already learned in Perek Yedaleh that he had three children, three sons and a daughter. And of course, the Mitzudas David says, listen, they must have died before his time. And so they took his body from Yar Ephraim, and they brought it all the way back over here, buried him underneath the Yad Avshalom, this commissioned monument, and threw him down here and filled him up with stones. This, of course, would be the source for a certain understanding that people had that the monument that Avshalom had set up for himself, which the Radak identifies here on Pasuk Yedches, the people didn't turn around and get rid of the monument. Instead, they used it as a lesson about overcoming Gaiva. And they said, look at what the hand of Avshalom did to himself. That's the way that Das Sofrim wants us to understand. So Yad Avshalom is there to be a certain reminder. In fact, there has been a tremendous amount of controversy concerning the identification of this Yad Avshalom, which is to be found in Nachal Kidron. It's quite distinctive if you're looking towards Har HaZeitim, because it has a funny-looking, pointy-top shape to it. And they point out that not only did the people have a bad habit of treating it in a certain way, the Toshavei Yerushalayim, according to the archaeological and historical history, used to come around and throw stones when they passed by, as in based on the understanding that similar to the concept of a Ben Sora Ramora, who is also supposed to be stoned, the people came back and would regularly throw stones over there to, so to speak, fulfill the understanding that a child who rebels against his parents, like Avshalom did, really doesn't belong with us, and he is to suffer tremendously. They also quote in the name of the Minag Yerushalayim from many years ago, was that parents would bring their children who were wayward, the children who were off the derech, and they would bring them over to the Yad Avshalom to be a lesson to the kids. This is where you're going to wind up if you're going to continue to go ahead and follow in the path of Avshalom. They quote, the author of the Sefer Mishpat Zozov quotes that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to go to this monument called Avshalom, Yad Avshalom, because he took chizuk there. If David HaMelech had mercy for a rebellious son, how much more so is the rachamim of Hashem for his children, even though we rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it would be the opposite of the message of the people of Yerushalayim. But here's where the fun starts and the archaeologists take over. They point out that it's quite unlikely that the place that we assume and identify as Yad Avshalom has anything to do with Avshalom at all. The bottom line is, if you examine just the architecture of Yad Avshalom, the style of the architecture is not similar to somebody living before the Bayis Rishon period, but rather, and you can see this from the areas of the kofixes that are around Yad Avshalom, it's much more similar to that which would have been around at the time of the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, or actually closer to the destruction at the beginning of the current Commonwealth. Not only that, if you look around and try to figure out who's buried in the area, we find that in the next kofix, which is similar historically, we find that the family of Chaziel, who is mentioned in Divrei Yamim as being one of the Kohanim, it's likely that of the Bayasheni period and his family, Kuch, his family burial grounds. So it's likely that somebody who would be buried next to them would also have been from the aristocratic society. And given the size of this and the unique shape and the endurance of this particular historical monument, it is quite likely that the fact that the two look very similar, they have similar time frames to them, they show similar archaeology, it's more likely that it came from that period in time. However, it has been pointed out by modern historians, and particularly modern archaeologists, that it is most likely that it would not have been from the Kohanim Gedolim, from the family of the Kahuna, that would be buried down here, but rather, based on the understanding and structure, it would have been Agrippa Samelech, King Agrippa and his descendants and his family, who's most likely buried here in what is today modern Yad Avshalom. And so therefore, that seems to be the ongoing belief system. Doesn't really take away from all the other ideas, the idea that that area is stoned, because Agrippa, as we know, although a decent king, certainly was not a person who had a right to take over Malchus Beis David. Just as Avshalom rebelled, the Beis Chashmonai and Agrippas ultimately also rebelled. And when those who rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those people are liable to pay with their lives and deserve the stoning in the process. We'll stop here. Be'ezus Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow morning, and now you know a little bit more about Yad Avshalom. Have a fantastic, amazing day.